My name is Derek Yach. I'd like to welcome you to the next in our series of Global Health Podcasts. Today, I'm really thrilled and privileged to have my colleague and friend, Candida Nakwana from Malawi, join us. Malawi is a critically important country, both for tobacco and also as we are looking at the expanding coronavirus crisis. It's a great pleasure for me to start the discussion with Candida. So let me just, first of all, welcome you, Candida, and it's really wonderful that we can have this chance. I thought maybe you could just open up by giving us a sense of your own journey to get into the work you're doing so that we can understand just the depth of your background in the field.
Thank you very much, Derek, for having me. And I have the pleasure to talk a bit about my background and which has contributed to the kind of work that I'm engaged in today. So maybe to start with, as President Mandela once said, poverty is the greatest assault on humanity. It is the most humiliating and degrading thing. And so I have personally transitioned from a place of absolute poverty to where I am today. And I would like to give special thanks to my parents who risked allowing me to engage in multiple petty businesses at a very tender age to raise money to support my education and also that of my siblings. And so I got involved in all sorts of things. I sold maize, maize flour, banana fritters, vegetables, fish, cattle skins and hides, name it. And from the proceeds that I found from those petty businesses, I paid for my education and that of my siblings. As such, I draw a lot of inspiration from my own upbringing. And I'm a great believer that transformation is indeed possible and that poverty can be defeated. So having said that, I know that some people will do this alone, but a lot more will need a hand to hold them and help them lead the way. So right now, my work, not only now, but also, like you said in your introductory remarks, my work with NASFAM, my work with Farmers Union, my work with the poor communities is inspired by my own experiences and the belief that it is indeed possible to break the chains of poverty. And so I take myself to be very privileged where I sit today, especially with the work that I'm doing with ATI. It is according me a very rare opportunity to be part of the solution and to contribute to transformation of many more lives in Malawi through the interventions that we are currently supporting, but also some of the interventions that are in the pipeline. Definitely, I believe that the interventions that we are implementing provide pathways out of poverty to prosperity, and I hope that our target group will embrace these interventions and use this opportunity to lead to change in their own lives. Finally, I think I would want to say that the job that I'm doing now gives me a very rare opportunity to be a role model to the youth, especially to the girl child, most of whom are very vulnerable. If left unsupported, most of them will resort to early marriages or indeed behaviors that end up being detrimental to their own health. And so I find myself to be very privileged to be in a position that can contribute to providing solutions for the poor to become prosperous. Maybe briefly, I can also talk about the work, the specific work that we are currently doing with the Agricultural Transformation Initiative.
Please do.
Yes. So as you are already aware, you are the president for the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World. The declining global demand for tobacco is affecting a lot of countries, and Malawi inclusive. So Malawi is heavily dependent on the crop. When you look at our foreign exchange earnings, currently tobacco contributes around 60% of foreign exchange earnings. And what that means is that there is an urgent need for Malawi to diversify its export and its export base if the economy is to continue to thrive. So ATI has a noble duty, and we are currently supporting government's efforts to diversify the food and export base. And specifically, our work is focusing on diversification, where we are looking at identification of innovative and profitable alternative crops and livelihood options for smallholder farmers. But we just don't want to identify those alternatives, because that has been done in the past, but perhaps we've been experiencing challenges in terms of low productivity. So the other area that we are focusing on as ATI is enhancing productivity of both land and labor through our investments in science, in technology and innovation, but also investments in human capital development. The third area of focus that we are looking at is promoting commercialization through the creation of markets. When you look at tobacco, it is a crop that has had structured markets from the onset, and that brought confidence to the banks, it brought confidence to the farmers that I can grow this crop, I have a structured market. And that's a challenge that we have, to develop markets for the alternatives that we are identifying. And then finally, we are supporting the creation of a conducive policy environment, because we realize that for all those three to happen, we need to have a conducive policy environment that then encourages the private sector to consider investing in the agricultural sector. So in a nutshell, that's the work that we are doing as ATI in Malawi.
Thanks, Candida. And let me go to where we are right now. And I think what is interesting for people to realize is that the president declared a national disaster recently. Probably the first country in the world without a single case to do so, recognizing that required massive mobilization to keep it that way. So I would just love your reflections on what does it mean in your daily life? What does it mean for our academic grantees and the universities you're working with? And most importantly, what are you hearing that it means for the smallholder farmers at this stage?
Malawi has not yet adopted a massive testing approach. Only those that have shown maybe some symptoms are the ones that are subjected to testing. However, despite having no confirmed COVID-19 cases, indeed the government has taken precautionary measures to dealing with the threat of the pandemic. And some of the threats, or rather some of the efforts that have been put in place, we have seen closure of schools. We have seen that there is increased screening of travelers at the port of entry. There is limitation to travel, both flights and public transport, ground public transport. There's increased awareness campaigns. District hospitals have been encouraged to set aside some rooms to prepare for any cases that might require hospitalization. And all these things that are happening, they definitely affect the work that we are doing. So the grantees that we are dealing with at the moment, they are working on adjusting their plans, especially for those that required travel to the target groups, the farmers that are out in the rural areas with the restrictions in travel. That means that the delivery period for our programs is going to be extended. In terms of the testing capabilities, let me also say that so far, we only have three centers that have been set up, one in the central part of Malawi, Lilongwe, and two in the southern region. What that means is that even though these centers have capacity to receive samples from all over the country, the distances from where the samples are coming from to where they have to be tested is quite high. I'll give you an example. If a sample is coming from Zuzu to Lilongwe, you're looking at a distance of around 400 kilometers. And what that means is that there's going to be limitations in terms of speed of handling the tests, but also dissemination of the results to whoever is supposed to act on those results. That said, I also wanted to say that there are still gaps in information, especially for most of the rural populations where our grantees are targeting. And so that's an area where we are hoping that our grantees can take part in, play a role in terms of increasing awareness to the rural populations. There's limited capacity for testing, limited capacity for quarantine, both in country as well as at the borders. The other thing is that we still need more trainings for medical staff that can help to deal with this pandemic. In the event that we have confirmed cases, we need people that can be prepared to deal with these situations in a safe way. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that even though we don't have COVID-19 cases now, the potential impact for a developing country like Malawi would be very high.
Yeah, candidate. I mean, and just going to that, two questions related to that. I think it's it's obviously of concern that there are 1 million people in Malawi living with HIV/AIDS at maybe extremely high level of risk, and secondly, the food security position has been precarious both post the cyclone and climate change, and I just wonder whether the discussions have started addressing both of those.
Yeah, right now the discussions are looking into those issues that you have raised. Already a population that is grappling with HIV cases, TB cases, and also malaria. So what that means is that our hospitals are already stressed. When you look at the landscape, of course we have community health centers, we have district hospitals, and then we have 4 referral hospitals. But with around 70% of the population depending on free government medical services, there's already a lot of congestion. And what that means is that with such a pandemic, the congestion will just get worse. There's, most of the times you find that maybe government hospitals run out of medical supplies. They already have limited staff that are working in those hospitals. And so when you add a pandemic of this nature, it is quite worrisome. Now, the other side to the conversation is what a possible lockdown would mean to the population, especially at this stage when we are considering opening of the tobacco markets. So like I said earlier on, tobacco is the main forex earner for the country. And usually the markets are opened around mid-April. As of now, when the president declared the state of disaster, there was an announcement that the markets will be delayed by 30 days. Now, in the event that we have confirmed cases of COVID-19, it means that there will be further delays to opening of the market for tobacco. And what that would mean is that when you look at the tobacco farmers, they usually get loans to support their production in terms of input requirements. So they only start paying for those loans when they have sold their tobacco. So if we delay opening of the tobacco markets, what that means is that the interest on their loans will continue to grow unless the banks or the buyers make a decision to freeze the interest accumulation, which is another conversation that is happening, whether that should be a consideration, whether the regulator, the Central Bank of Malawi, is going to come in and provide solutions to that kind of challenge, we are yet to see. The other risk that we have, which is also a conversation that we are having now, is when you look at the tobacco crop, the current crop, we already have a deficit. We are looking at an estimated 155 million kilograms against a demand which is between 161 to 164 million kgs. Now, if we delay opening of our markets, there is a risk that some of the farmers will consider taking their tobacco to markets across the borders, because tobacco is also grown and sold in Zambia, in Mozambique. And these two countries have already opened their tobacco markets. So if we have some of the tobacco smuggled to those countries, what that means is that we are further reducing the crop that can then bring in the so much required foreign earnings. And then the other angle of the conversation, you see there are multiple angles to this conversation. The other side of it is that when smallholder farmers have sold their crop, they then use part of that money to buy inputs in preparation for the following growing season. So if we delay, it means even procurement or preparations for 2020-21 season are going to be affected. And then I think finally, on the conversations that we are having now, when you look especially at tobacco, there is a risk that farmers have in the sense that when they have harvested their tobacco, when they have cured it, they bale it in preparation for deliveries to the market. So in the event that markets are not opened, they will then keep those bales in their house because of security risks. Now, what that means is that we are introducing a health problem for the members that are within those households. So it's a complicated conversation, and I think it really needs to be given the seriousness that it deserves, involving multiple people in coming together and talking about all those angles and then seeing the levels of preparation that we have.
Well, Candida, I must thank you. And I think what you've given us is an extraordinary insight into the complexity that we sitting in the US and many people sitting in Europe have no idea about, where the discussion hasn't even started, that the ramification that in the end will impact on the health and economy of people, smallholder farmers, are going to be profound. What I hope is that we do start seeing the economic relief that's required from government. In the last few days, the G20 has responded, and even President Macron, I notice, has called for a reallocation of funds from the Global Fund for AIDS, Malaria, and TB to be geared up to support the health side. And clearly there's going to be a need to address what is otherwise predicted as a GDP loss of between 2 and 3% across Africa. I hope that those people who are listening take up the massive complexity of the issue and think through what they can do to actually give the support that we all are going to need to do to ensure that even if Malawi stays COVID-free, the ramifications will be profound for the economy and for the farmers of Malawi. And thank you so much, Candida. We will obviously hope to hear what evolves over the next few weeks and months.
Thank you.
Since recording the podcast earlier with Candida from Malawi, we learned that the president of the country announced that they now have 3 confirmed cases of coronavirus. We thank you all for listening, and we hope that in the days and weeks ahead, we will be able to follow what happens in Malawi. Remember, please stay safe, follow the rules, and maintain social distance. And to be in touch with us, please use our email, which is at podcast@smokefreeworld.org.